about it before Martin Henderson, Martin Henderson.
I want to get you guys on the verb thing. I should probably tighten that up and turn it off today, shouldn't I? From the standpoint of here, while leaving a little loophole still. See, they'll come at me with a.
How about, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to looked like there was something bothering him. So he stayed there and talked. During the course of the conversation, Art Solmer and one other person, I understand, Bob Shell, tried to come over to a barrier to pick it up. They were blocked off for some reason or another, but I was sort of talk. So anyway, we had the conversation. I made notes the next morning, so it's more to be happy because I thought about that. First of all, I want to make it clear, these are not my comments, and I don't necessarily subscribe to what was said, but I'm just relating, these are his.
Right.
And I will indicate when I said something.
So, sure.
The first thing he said to me when we got back to the address of the diner, he said, rather hectic place, what's going on? Obviously, it's recognized as a spokesman of the way, close to the president. So So then he says, well, he said, I can't stand another 4 years of this. He said, I just had up to here. He said, I just can't take it any longer. He said, I'll never harm the president, anyone involved. He said, I'll campaign for him. I'll do whatever he wants done. But he said, I cannot stand another 4 years. So knowing that he was up very tight, and because of what Bob Hill had said to me previously, which I'll get to in a moment, I said, well, listen, Vice President, I said, you never want to do something that your enemies want you to do. Your enemies want you off the ticket. And so they may be other people who are not your enemies who think it'd be better that you're not on the ticket, but your enemies don't want you on the ticket. I said, for example, in Nick Timmons, an article where he came up with this idea, Hoover was going to resign as head of the FBI, and that Bishop White would be appointed to take his place, and he would go on to the Supreme Court. This is interesting. I said, now, even something like that, I said, even if you announced to the whole world that you simply did not want to be vice president anymore, no one will believe it. I said, they will think that you were kicked off the ticket. Now, if they believe that, I said, people don't vote for a vice president ordinarily. I said, he rides along. But I said, if a lot of people thought that you were treated shabbily in any way at all, no matter how you come in dressed up, they might sit on their hands, and it could possibly affect adversely the ticket. So my suggestion is, while it's not my place to tell you what to do with the vice president, is, you know, just take it in grace and see what happens and ride along and so forth. I said, furthermore, this is what I said to him. I said, you know, being a vice president is an occupational hazard. I said, I know that there are other vice presidents, I was thinking of you, who felt that the president hadn't treated them properly during the time that they were vice president. So then he said, well, it's obvious to me that the president must have forgotten the way President Eisenhower treated him and even the vice president, otherwise he wouldn't possibly be doing the things to me that he had been doing. This guy's uptight. Now, remember this, I have never been a buddy of the vice president. I've been in cash. For him to talk to me this way, he wanted to get something off his chest. He said, there's so much going on in this administration, both domestically and internationally. He said, I'm really not a part of it. Now, Yang is the person showing how he is near the breaking point on this thing, which makes me fear that he may say or do something that could be embarrassing. Bob Hill told me about when they had a dinner there in Spain for the vice president and Prince Marshals and so forth. That near the end of the dinner, the vice president got up from the dinner and motioned for Hill to come on out. So he went out and went into the hall, he's kind of looking, and the vice president says to Hill, and they're out of here, and they have a group, says, who's the chief of state here? So you'd think he would know that. So Hill said, well, of course, John Wilson on front of the chief of state, but Prince Juan Carlos was scheduled to succeed him. And of course, the vice president was here, so any toast that you might be offering, you must be certain, of course, to include the vice president of Spain. And Hill told me that the vice president turned and says, I didn't ask you for your advice. He says, I just asked you who is the chief of state. So Hill could see that the guy was really, you know, up to very time. So then he mentioned about the fact that some of his staff people had said to him, well, why don't you sit down and talk to the president about it? And I said, well, look, I said, I've got a few times to the president. What's the president going to say to you? He's going to say, gee, Ted, you're doing a great job. He can decide the other thing. So that's what I told my staff. He said, they just don't seem to understand. So that was his whole tenor of the thing, that it is at a point where it is really rough. So I ended the, oh, by the way, he had told Hill, apparently, that the sending Bryce Harlow with him was a way of indicating that they didn't trust the vice president to say or do the right thing, and Bryce would send along to Washington advising. And his leaving from Korea and so forth is supposed to be a part of that setup. Well, I saw Bryce before I went to Europe, he was over the Hugh Scott reception, and he sort of Bob Jerry said, well, I said, I came on back. I said, I was like, really? He said, well, I came on back. I felt like I was an extra bump on the log. There wasn't much point, you know, with my going along. So then I ended up in a conversation with him towards the end, and I said, Mr. Vice President, may I make a suggestion to you if you don't mind? And that is, just take it in stride. It's an occupational hazard being the vice president. And I said, may I remind you someday, if I'm still around, how you are treating your vice president? So he's smiled on that and hope to take a long time. We started to break up at that point, and I said to him, I might consider this as a confidential conversation or am I at liberty to use my judgment when I do with it. He hesitated a moment and he said, you do whatever you think is right, he said, I trust you. Well, my judgment was that I'll share it. And I'm not here to get advice from Mary to report. This guy's going to be better than not quite on the question of whether he's on or off the ticket, but that he might get a stolen title, that he might say or do something he could be harmful. So that's the purpose of my call.
No, we have a U.S.
will not be able to take it where it's his choice. frankly, I think that hurts us. I'm not saying you should be on or off. That's not my province. But it would look like there was a rift no matter how you dressed it up.
Oh.
And he's in a frame of mind where I'm a little concerned about it. I'm glad that you had Secretary Rogers and Cabinet people out to read it. You know, he came back.
I said,
you know. So I don't want to read the subject. You know what to do.
Let me suggest this to the conversation. The one you could report it to would be you're working with Mitchell.
No, so as a matter of fact, there's a cutoff in his office.
Well, there has been, don't do it.
Unfortunately, he's under the impression that I should not be in. I refused quite to get in. I'm available. I don't have to be coached. And financially, I'm doing very well. And then, four times back in. I tried to see John about five, six different times, and I get no response. So I'm not complaining, I'm just reporting that that's not fair. So, however, if you want me to make contact with him, I will.
Let me have him call you.
And
that's what we'll be done.
Please understand, I'm not playing.
I know you're not, but let me ask that. That's much the better way to do it, though. That's much the better way to do it, very much the better way to know how long I have. But this is, we've had that one down. We've got these two to do it later time. We're going to do it all. So you're across to 1701, that's what you don't have any of those closers. I mean, it's a very interesting story. Did you actually ride a bus yesterday?
I rode a bus all the time. Yeah, about Springfield, Virginia.
We bought them out there. But why the first bus?
It's no better.
By the time
we ride it, we got a second lane.
I said to Owen, I said to him, kind of how is it awkward when you charge on the bus? He said, we'll put Anderson after the congressman's cars in here. If not all the participants are here, sir. For that meeting, if all right, run the incident, all right, then it's the truth. I just don't want to keep, so you understand, has to be here all day. So if congressman's here, you should come and just get your run the incident. Does TV know that just that we're waiting for you?
Everybody else
doesn't like it. Well, as a matter of fact, too, you want to get parked in the car.